Morning and a very warm welcome to our service, our worship this morning, in particular a warm welcome to everybody who's joining us online. It is wonderful to be back. For those who don't remember me or recognise me or have never met me before, I'm the curate, Reverend Peter Myers, and the last 4 weeks I've had the privilege of being out on a rural placement, and I've been helping to lead and teach some of the services in a rural community north of the diocese, which has been an extraordinary and wonderful experience. On my first Sunday, I went off to look for the seven churches that were part of the benefice. I stumbled over two of them by accident, and I didn't find one of them. So that was how it was like that out there. Anyway, it's wonderful to be back. And today we're going to continue with our series of learning to unhurry. And joy of joys, we've got the Reverend Paul Hunt, who's going to be teaching on silence and solitude. So that may send shivers up your spine, or it may be giving you a wonderful warm feeling of excitement. The other thing I want to recognise is today is All Saints Day. And though we're not going to be particularly focused on that, All Saints Day is a time of thanksgiving for all the saints that have gone past. We are the saints as well. And it's to remember the extraordinary and wonderful people through history on whose shoulders we stand. And I found this picture, thinking of saints, I was reminded of Megan, and I just let us this morning remember one of those great saints who've gone before us and prepared the world for us through their prayers and their love. We also gather this morning in light of the Prime Minister's announcement last night, and you know that we are going back into some form of major lockdown later this week, which is obviously going to impact us all. Let us recognise that all of us will have a variety of different emotions, or perhaps you're still catching up and you haven't got emotionally engaged with what's about to happen. Some people may feel angry, some people may feel fearful and anxious, others may be quite content and realise that perhaps life doesn't change a great deal for them. But it's really important for us to recognise our own responses, respond in our own emotions and to recognise that, and the fact that we will all respond in different ways. But it will mean that we won't be meeting again for a number of weeks in this context. And what I wanted to do before we move into prayer and start the service, just read you what the Bishop of Worcester sent the clergy late last night. Apart from saying that places of worship, as of Thursday, should be closed unless they are being used for funerals, broadcasting acts of worship, individual prayer, formal childcare or where they're part of a school, essential voluntary and public services, and other exempt activities such as some support groups. And then Bishop John says this: "This news is very disappointing, if not entirely unexpected, in light of the recent rise in infections. Though we might be feeling despondent, I pray that we shall be able to radiate Christian hope, particularly to those feeling anxious, those fearing isolation, and those fearing financial ruin, as well as those most at risk. I pray that we may be enabled by the Spirit to give confidence that this crisis will pass, but God's love for us in Jesus will embrace us into eternity. God bless you in all your ministry at this dreadful time." God is with us, and he will lead us through this time. Can I invite you to stand? And I'd love to say together some of Psalm 37, and as you'll know, I'll say the things in yellow and to follow in white. "Trust in the Lord and do good.
Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. And as God's people, we have gathered here this morning. Let us worship him together. Please stand or sit, and Peter's going to play, and we're going to listen to the music, and the words will come up. For be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. Be still, for the power of the Lord is moving in this place. Lord, may each of us, wherever we are, sense your presence, draw upon you, and may our eyes be fixed on you this morning and all times. Amen. All Saints' Day is a day, as I mentioned earlier, where we give thanks for those who've gone before us and have led or laid out the path before us. And so we remember that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And so before we confess, this is from Hebrews
since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Hebrews 12. So let us say together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. And Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on us, pardon and forgive us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And Trish is now going to come and read the readings for us.
The lesson this morning is from Matthew 4 and also Mark 1. Matthew 4 starts at verse 4. When Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, people do not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will all lift up their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. Jesus prays in a solitary place. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he travelled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
It's good in our worship to practice ruthless elimination of hurry. So that's why I've taken a bit of time to get up here. That is my excuse. Yes, let's pray. Lord, thank you for joining us this morning. Thank you for those wonderful words of for all saints. And that we're surrounded with the company of heaven, heaven and earth joined together in the crucified, risen body of Jesus. Thank you. Support us by them, by their prayers through the Lord to the Father. Support our saints together, so much needing each other's encouragement and strength in this journey in these uncertain days. Thank you. Open your word to us now and us to your word in the name of Christ our God. Amen. Good to have you back, Peter. And this Peter too. yes, we have thought of you, and praise God, you're still in one piece. And why do I find it difficult to be alone and in solitude? Why is silence difficult? What is the fear? What's the anxiety behind it? Just two or three years ago, I went off up to Scotland on my own for nearly 2 weeks, got the permission of my wife, which is very important, and I have to let her go off if she wants to as well, so it's always a mutual thing. And I found as I was staying in a different bed and breakfast, about 10 of them, all around Scotland, and I found myself deep down really asking, do I really like myself? Very difficult question, to be alone with oneself for that length of time. Silence, solitude. At the end, I got home and I pondered and I thought, Lord, actually, I can put up with me because you put up with me. That really was the basis of it all. But Lord, I think I can like myself. I think I can, but it's a struggle. And it may be for you or it may not be. But you see, solitude, silence is not an easy thing. Why in church, I'm not saying just this church, but in most of our churches, why is it so difficult to allow silence? Even for, sometimes we say we'll be silent and the 30 seconds is about 15 seconds. You very rarely, anyone gives 30 seconds. Let alone anything longer. What is it we fear about silence? When preparing for this talk, I knew I needed just to go and sit with God for 20 minutes in silence, in solitude, on my own. Very difficult, my mind full of everything, like monkeys in a tree. I did it somehow. You go on the hills, you have your smartphone, your radio with you, your mobile phone, whatever, and your headphones are on. You're in the car. Why do I sometimes immediately switch on the radio? Why? What do I fear about being in the car on my own without noise? In the kitchen, why do we so easily turn the sound, the radio on? Music, news, whatever. Why? How do we turn loneliness into solitude, that great word of Henri Nouwen, one of the books that Dave is recommending to us to look at, turning my loneliness into solitude. And in solitude, as someone has said, you are never less alone than when you are alone with God. I mean, isn't that amazing? You are never less alone than when you are alone with God. And so our scripture passages, beautifully read by Trish, thank you so much. We look at Jesus we find here what someone has called a genuine human existence. A man, a God-man, but a human man who is truly human. And he's into that desert for 40 days. I love the travels of Michael Palin. I've actually watched four of them the last 4 weeks. There's one more, I think, coming up. It was nice or two. He's amazing. And the last one, he was in the Sahara Desert, touching about five different countries, mainly northwest Africa. And but you see, he's always with a film crew. He's always with other people. You don't actually see Michael just on his own. Jesus goes, he is totally on his own. And the voice that comes from deep within, come on, do something. Don't just sit there, do something. Make bread, do something, throw yourself down, get the status, get the wealth, the kingdoms of the world, all of this I can offer you. And three times the Lord says, it is written, it is written, it is written. He comes back almost to that central prayer of his life, which grounded the word of God in his own existence. John Mark Comer, in this book we're looking at, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, he notes nine times in St. Luke's Gospel that Jesus goes on his own to a quiet place. And the central verse, and it's one which I've often used for myself and sometimes in chatting with other people, is Luke 5:16. If there's one verse you want to take out of church this morning, Luke 5:16. Jesus often went into desert places and prayed. He found a place. He found a time. His time was often to pray. Jesus loved people. He was a people man, wasn't he? His heart is broken. It's in John chapter 6 where all his followers are beginning to leave him. It's too hard. What he's saying, his way of life is too hard. And even his closest ones, his disciples, apostles, were beginning to drift away. And he turns to them and he says, will you also go away? Jesus needed people. And yet, at the same time, he needed solitude. It's a wonderful balance, isn't it? John chapter 16, at the end of that chapter, he says to these 12, he says, you also are actually going to leave me. And then those wonderful words, but I am not alone. My Abba Father is with me. Isn't that wonderful? He feared solitude. Are you going to leave me? Yeah, in the end, you are. And yet, you are never less alone than when you're alone with God. The Father is with me. You come back to Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Early in the morning, before dark, he gets up. Now, probably this was what they called the fourth watch of the night, between 3 and 6 in the morning. So in that time, our Lord would get up. I think St. Mark is saying this is quite a typical day of our Lord, because the night before, the whole city has come to be healed. They brought sick people needing to be healed, filled with evil spirits, all kinds of things. Then our Lord at long last gets to bed, and you think, well, at least I'll have a lie down tomorrow morning. And they'll all understand, my disciples around me will understand. But in that fourth watch of the night, he's up. Before dark, and he deliberately goes out to a desert place, a place apart, a quiet place is how John Comer puts it, a quiet place, a place apart, in order to pray. And you'll see over here, so grateful for Andy doing this at the back, and already he's taken pictures of this for those of you who are seeing this on Zoom or in whatever way. This is a place he chose, a desert place, a place apart, somewhere, and he chose a time when he could manage, or even if he couldn't manage, he did manage. He knew it was so important. But it needed a huge effort to do it, colossal effort. And St. Mark says two very important words. He got up, a deliberate getting up, and he went out. Two big actions, to get up and to go out. Jesus often went into desert places, getting up, going out, finding a place, and finding time. And this this is a picture which I just wanted to bring along this morning. I've used it once or twice here before. I see this as Jesus getting up, and he's out, and he's in his place apart, his solitary place, and he's surrounded by heaven. It's his Abba Father. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. He's not going to, you know, say lots of words and communicate with in great sort of depth. He's just there with the Father. He's there, surrounded by this light. The light goes down here, and it's beautiful. And one of my daughters, looked recently at this. She spent three times for 20 minutes gazing at this. And at the end, she said, "I began to see a great waterfall here of light and of love, pouring down upon Jesus." But do you see how anchored he is? He's a man of the earth. He's anchored. He's truly human, truly divine. And the darkness actually is all around. See the darkness down here? It's there. You can't get away from it. But I see also ourselves there. When you choose to be apart, this is the light that you and I can receive, have poured upon us from the Father. Someone said to me recently, and it was so helpful, just four words: God loves your company. Isn't that wonderful? God loves your company. God loves my company. Someone said, friendship is the very nature of God. But I see this as us this morning coming to church. This is the church, on its knees, kneeling, sitting, standing, however, but it's there worshipping God, anchored to the earth, filled with divine light to take out into the world. Time, place, effort. I was on the phone this last week, or a couple were on the phone with me. They said, "We're getting near retirement. We're going to a retreat house, Launde Abbey in Leicestershire, for 3 days, and we don't quite know how to prepare for the future. Can you help us?" So I gave a bit of help if I was able to. And he rang again last night and said, "Right, now we're going to tell you what's happened on our retreat." So we've got booked another place this next week to talk about it. But I thought to myself, what courage for a couple at this stage of their lives to go off to a retreat house into a solitary place, making time to be open to God. Not everyone can do that. You need a bit of money, you need a bit of time. But the fact that a couple can do that, to me, it says a lot about their marriage as well. It's the effort, isn't it, sometimes, for silence and solitude go together to be with God. And I take heart. I went once on a retreat led by a religious person, all in her beautiful garments and, you know, crosses and things and everything. And And we all thought, gosh, she's arrived, she's there, you know, I'm sure we can learn from her. She began by saying, you know, in the morning when I light my little candle and I sit, I so often just say to God, phew, Lord, at least I've turned up. And I thought, oh, thank you. Because sometimes it's all we can do. We turn up. You know, we've not got any great words. We don't feel God's presence. It's cold, it's damp. You know, hopefully you can put a blanket on yourself or something, whatever you're doing. But, you know, Lord, I've turned up. And the Lord says, I love your company. I love it. Friendship is the very nature of God. You are my friend, says Jesus. And this is a great challenge, isn't it, as Peter gave us that wonderful introduction today, but on this next month or so, when again we're getting locked down again, locked into this lockdown, a kind of prisoners, really. I heard this morning someone saying about seafarers, and we're going to pray in a few minutes for Guy, for Andrew's son, and how seafarers feel that their boats are like prisons. And they can't get onto land, and they're all lack of space, and you know, 25 in the crew all together, and they can't get away from each other. And, well, we can get away usually from somebody if we want to. But you know, it's not easy, is it? It's not easy. And as Peter was saying, you know, there's anger in us, and there's things, Lord, I don't want this, and, you know, I'm cut off from my family, I can't see so-and-so, it's a huge pressure that we feel, and it's the pressure, I think, which our Lord so often felt, of this balance of being with others, being alone. And COVID-19 is one way, maybe, in which the Lord can say, he said this a little bit to me, you know, you can't escape from yourself, you can't escape from your family, if you live with anybody, but you can't escape from yourself, but I'm here. And solitude and not loneliness. Turn your loneliness into solitude. The Lord is with me. The Father is with me. I find it, I'm an introvert, and so I draw strength from my inner life. So I love being on my own, actually. I'm very happy. Twice in my life, I've had 30 days in total silence, just gone right away to retreat house. And I've loved it. It's been very difficult, hugely difficult, because you have to face all kinds of things in yourself. But that's where I'm happy. So someone like me, an introvert, needs to get out and see people. I need to get to church. I probably need to get into the pub afterwards and be able to talk to somebody. You see, we need, introverts need this. Extroverts, Diana won't mind saying, she's an extrovert. When the telephone goes, she goes, and we're all in communication. She's in communication. I get as far away as I can, and people. This is a great gift. Introvert. We've actually got both of them in us. But the balance is actually, isn't it? It's to somehow say, I need time on my own, and the extrovert needs time on his or her own. A spiritual guide said to Diana, "You need half an hour of silence a day." She's actually doing it. And when she went on a three-day retreat, another guide said, you should be there for 10 days. You imagine Diana on retreat for 10 days. A silent retreat. Gosh. That's the challenge. And last week, Peter led us beautifully in the worship. And he took Psalm 62, verse 1, for God alone my soul waits in silence. You've got it there. For God alone, that's the solitude. And there's a silence. My soul waits in silence. The two go together. For God alone, for you alone, O Lord, I wait in silence. And it goes on. And from you comes my salvation. So when you give time to this, deliverance, salvation, the sense of being drawn by God out of all the murky darkness of our lives into his glorious presence, that can happen. It's not easy. I was once, and I'm coming towards the end now, I was once worked as a commuter in London, so for 10 years. Some of you know, will know this for yourselves. You've commuted or you go in the car every day. And for 10 years, I was on that Bexley Heath line, terrible line. There was a bit of rain. The trains were cancelled. Just stood on the platform sometimes for hours. Where do you get your time? Get up early, then my energy runs out. On the train, too much distraction, even though we British don't talk much to each other. Lunchtime, not easy to find a place. It's not easy to do this. My daughter, one of my daughters, works as a nurse, a practice nurse, and she says, I'm learning now to run up and down the stairs of her medical practice and turn my phone off. Turn it off. And I just know I can know that God is with me. She says, actually, it takes, the word she used, I distance myself from my phone. I allow emptiness. And when John Mark Comer was interviewed, I heard him being interviewed, and the interviewer at the end said to this young man with a young family, so it's, you know, he's wrestling with this in his own life, in that situation. And the interviewer said, John Mark, what's the one thing you want to say now to people? And he said, get off the phone. And then he said, can I say one more thing? The interviewer said, yes. Be kind to yourself and be gentle with yourself. And I want to just, as I come to an end, I want to, as we perhaps can look back on our lives, this next month, look back a bit on your life. Let the Lord be with you as bits of your life can come back to you and you see God working through different things. But when Billy Graham, who preached to more people on this planet than anyone else, when someone, he was interviewed and the last question was, Dr. Graham, what one thing do you regret in your life? You know what he said? He didn't say, I wish I'd preached even more people. He said, I wish I'd spent more time alone with God. I did so many things that I regret I did, and I needed more time with God. So I asked, really, what is the Spirit saying to you and to me? I had an email this last week from one of our church members saying this, I'm on a journey and learning the pathway into the depth of stillness within. It's not easy. But I'm on the pathway. We are, all of us, on this pathway, and it's not easy, but stay with it, my friend, stay with it. Look at the balance of your life, solitude, silence, with people, apart from people. What is the Lord saying to you in your unique situation? What's he saying to me? And I just finish with how I try and do this. Now, you do it your way. Some people take the dog for a walk or go for a walk, and it's wonderful. It's a wonderful way of being with God. Some people just somehow in the kitchen sink, and you let the kitchen things go, but you're standing there in God's presence. Other ways you will have. You can sometimes lying down is a wonderful way. The psalmist says, you know, you can lie on your couch and praise God. It's wonderful. But the way I do, and the way which I think a lot of people do, is to have a comfortable chair. And because my energy flows, I'm a diabetic, so my energy flows early in the day, and then it flows away. So you need to do this at a time when you've got a bit of energy. And as Dave says, our rector, do it in small steps. Whatever you're going to do, small steps, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, it may get more, may even be less, maybe one precious minute in which you stop everything and you're silent and you're with God. Well, what I do it fairly early in the morning, and a cup of tea is essential. So there we are, my Yorkshire tea bag, there's my cup of tea. And when I've had my silence, I then fill it up again, because it's, you know, it takes a lot out of you just sitting with God. It's not easy. And I light the candle. I'll just do this. And this is the candle I lit this morning. It's just a small candle which I find can more or less keep me going for 3 or 4 times. And I have quite a good stock of replacements. There we are. And what I then do, having sat and just to relax the body a bit, our shoulders take a lot of the strain, relax the shoulders, sit as upright as you can, and your legs just comfortable, your hands probably just to rest them on your knees, on your whatever you're wearing, or keep them open if you like, whichever. If you're feeling a bit angry with God, have them closed, you know, however you're feeling. And then what I do, and what I would suggest that you do, what Jesus did, it is written, it is written, it is written. You have a sacred word from the Bible. This is what makes it Christian prayer, Christian contemplation, Christian meditation. My word is Abba. It's the word close to the heart of Jesus. But you might have another word. Shalom is a beautiful one. The word Jesus, or a scripture like be still and know that I am God, or just be still and know. Or a lovely one, the end of 1 Corinthians 16, Maranatha. This was the early church. Come, Lord Jesus. That's in the very language of Jesus. Like Abba, that's Aramaic. That's the language of Jesus. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, come. And you probably find yourself saying it, first of all, with your lips. But very slowly, you don't need to say it. It's in your heart. And it's there deep in you. Abba, Maranatha, Jesus, Jesus, Shalom, Shalom. But just take one word and stay with it. I've stayed with my word for 43 years. And I once wanted to change it, and my spiritual guide said, why change something that was so close to the heart of Jesus? And if you don't have a word, don't worry. One may be given, a line of a hymn, a prayer, you know, something like that. But just stay with it. Breathe. And we'll just do it now for about a minute, and then Diana's going to come and lead the intercession. So just make sure, if you're just sitting comfortably, and breathe a bit deeper, and just let that word come to you. And if it doesn't come, don't worry. Just be, God loves your company. He just says, I'm so glad you're here. I just want to be your friend. I want to be you to be my beloved child. We'll have about a minute or so of quiet.
So let us pray. And we start by remembering we're drawn by God into the presence of God. And he's a God of glory. You, Lord, made the world. You called us and you love us. Amazingly, you want our friendship and our presence. And we are here with you. Thank you for your love for us. And when we're still, Lord, we remember the things that burden us and the things we should pray about. And you've said, come to me, all who are burdened and heavy laden. You've also said we should pray for our leaders and those who rule over us. But Lord, we start with COVID. How do we pray about that and what's coming up and this lockdown? And the difficulties, it's all about bringing it into line with what God's love and his power. And there's a lovely bit at the end of 2 Corinthians 4, therefore we do not lose heart. We are outwardly wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary trouble is achieving for us an eternal weight of glory that outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes on, not on what's seen, but what's unseen. What's seen is temporary. What's unseen is eternal. So, Lord, as we face this lockdown and those who face all sorts of difficulties that go with it, can they fix their eyes on you? Look, that this slight momentary affliction may prepare for them an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Give us a Jesus perspective. We've forgotten to say thank you for all the years we've lived in freedom. We just remember this month. So, Father, thank you for the freedom we've had. Help us to learn something in this lockdown that we don't learn when everything's busy and sunny. Oh Lord, we bring to you the other things. We bring to you the American election, which is far away, but perhaps much more important than it feels to us. This is more important than it feels to me, but we still pray about it. And we pray that you may rule in that country. We thank you that many Americans have a real and a living faith. We pray for justice and for truth and for you to be at work among all their leaders. Shall we say together, we say, Lord, I say, Lord, in your mercy, and you say, hear our prayer. So, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for the forgotten people of southern Sudan. Do you know there's 500,000 without homes and without food because of floods? And we don't hear, of course, we're not interested in them. Oh, Lord, forgive us. And we pray for those people, so many of them Christians, as they walk hoping for some sort of a way forward. Oh, Lord, be their hope and their strength. May they find resources in you that they hadn't dreamed of. We pray for Christians imprisoned for their faith. We pray for those who are involved in the earthquake in Izmir, those who are rescuing. Lord, we pray for hope that somehow they may see you at work in this, walking alongside them. Oh Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
We bring to you those we support in other countries. Remember the Fletcher family living in the slums of Bangkok with their children. Oh, and ask that you'll protect them and that their very lifestyle may speak of you to the people around them. Pray for Eloise Wharton, whose family are at St. Andrews, who's gone for a gap year in Beirut. So we ask for your protection in that. We ask that you will enrich her. We thank you for the work she's doing. Pray for Guy Crumpler, whose parents, Andrew and Susan, are in this church, still awaiting paperwork to go to Japan to work for Seaman there. Oh, Lord, as he's sort of stalled. He's not stalled. The papers have stalled. So just help him at this point to find purpose in it, to find something in it that he won't find when the uncertainty's gone. So we ask for your blessing upon those young people. O Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our leaders, particularly Dave and Alice and their family, and Peter and Emma and their family, and give them wisdom, what to take on, what to leave, how to not hurry in a busy job, how to find you in the middle, someone else has said, in the middle of the muddle. How to come to you when they are heavy laden, Lord, and find you and find your rest. And so, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Hear our prayer. Finally, we bring to you the concerns of our heart. You know, when you're still, then stuff comes up that only you know about. You think of family things. You think of your own things. You think of the cares of your heart and the things that keep you awake at night. And Lord, you said this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory, even though it doesn't feel comfy. So Lord, we bring to you our stuff. Bring to you the people on our hearts. We let your love and your power and your beauty shine into that. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Thank you, Diana and Paul. Please can I invite you to stand? We are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God through Jesus Christ our Lord, who came and preached peace to those who were far off and those who were near. The peace of the Lord be with you. Thank you. Please show a sign of peace to one another. Wave at each other, wink at each other, whatever feels appropriate. So we come this stage of our service to share with one another over the table. And as the grain once scattered in the fields and the grapes once dispersed on the hillside are now reunited on this table in the bread and the wine. And so, Lord, may your whole church soon be gathered together from the corners of the earth into your kingdom. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Please take a seat. It is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love, you made us for yourselves. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ, you shared your life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. On the night he was betrayed, at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. And as we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. And as we eat this holy gift, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. With your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day your daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So we break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. And we celebrate our communion strangely in this season, and yet our confidence and hope is in God, who is always both a virtual and a real presence, in bread, in wine, in water, and in the space between us. The still centre at the heart of all our circling. Come, living God, infuse our presence with your absence and our absence with your presence. Amen. say together the post-communion prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out into the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. We're now going to sing Abide With Me. We're going to listen, of course, to the music, and the words will come up. And if you want to stand, please do. Otherwise, sit, and we're going to listen to four verses of Abide With Me, Fast Falls the Eventide. Thank you, Peter. So we're drawing to a close in our service, and just a couple of notices. The mail out has an enormous amount of information in that. Please go to that and find all sorts of notices about what is going on. Clearly, we will update you once we know what we're doing and what we're not doing in light of the lockdown. There is a suggestion and a move that we might move the Thursday midweek service to Wednesday this week so that we can actually gather. So if that is a midweek service that you would like to come to or normally come to, we'll probably do it on Wednesday rather than Thursday, and we'll let you know. In terms of Sunday next week, Jackie and I will be doing something. There's an initial suggestion that perhaps we do it on Zoom so there can be a live interaction if you would like one, but otherwise we'll certainly be going back to the online recording, but we will again let you know what is going on. Just to reiterate, this is another quote from the book that we are reading and looking at, and it's from Henry Nguyen, who many of you will be familiar with. We do not take the spiritual life seriously if we do not set aside some time to be with God and listen to him. And so if we're taking the teaching of these weeks seriously, I just want to encourage you, in the umbrella of kindness to ourselves, but equally if we're going to change things, it does mean that we need to think about how we do life and where we can make changes. I'm looking at how I look at use social media. I've started to cut out some social media, started to look at how I do things in a day when I'm perhaps trying to do two things at once, or even three times, which I am not designed to do. And actually, what does it mean to do the one thing in front of me, to savour that, to be focused on that, rather than be distracted by two or other things? It is bringing some peace into my life that is renewing some peace that I had forgotten. So that's just one change I'm making. So I just want to encourage you as we go forward, abide, let God abide with you this week and see if you can shift some patterns into more holy rhythms. So without reiterating already what Paul has said. So let us finish with this. May God give to you and to all those who love you his comfort and his peace this week, his light and his joy in this world and the next. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always this week. Amen. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Oh, the final thing is, if you feel at ease with it, I certainly plan to be going for coffee next door at the Railway Inn. It'd be lovely if you want to come and join, and as well to support them in these final days. Social distancing obviously is critical when we get there, but groups of six are still legal. But if you want to come for a coffee next door, we'll be doing that. It'd be lovely if you can join us.